Jesse, take your Bibles and go to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22 this morning, and did get an opportunity. Thank you for praying for us as we went out. Pastor Carter preached this week up in Chicago. If you don't know where that is, he would have called it Chicago. And so I went there and was up there with him, and he did a great job as always, and just got the blessing of just being with him and had a couple other preachers we knew, and just was able to get some things, advertise our college and some of our curriculum ministry, and just be there at the meeting, and as well just to soak up the preaching. Amen. Preachers need preaching too. And a blessing. It was a blessing for us, and also to be able to stay. And I appreciate you staying. I miss Wednesday night, and I appreciate Brother Perkins filling in for me and stepping in. And I just wanted to stay. I felt like it would be, dishonoring to my pastor to leave before he preached. And so I stayed, and he closed the meeting out. And so I wanted to make sure I stayed. It was a blessing. It kind of touched my heart. I'll just share a little bit with you. My Pastor Carter got up and just said, "It's good to have my son with me here." Stephen was there. And he said, "It's been a long time since I could say my pastor is here with me today." And so that was a blessing to me as well. And it was just a good meeting. Thank you so much for praying. We did have good traveling mercies there and back. Here in Ezekiel chapter number 22, this is a familiar passage of Scripture. It's not something that you've never heard before. I want to preach a message, and for the tape room, it's entitled, "God is Still Seeking." God is still seeking. I believe here, and I don't think anyone's unaware of how this scripture, the most profitable, or maybe the verse here would say in this chapter that people have preached on the most, would be in verse 30. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." And then the verse says, "But I found none." It's been preached on by men all over our country, and preached on, and it's been a youth verse. It's been used throughout ages. But again, a lot of times we neglect the earlier scripture, not only bringing context to the verse that is there about a man to stand and make up the hedge and to stand in the gap, but there is so much that I believe applies to our country, at least our nation and our timeline. In details here, you find that this is speaking, the prophet Ezekiel is in captivity, and he is a prophet that is going to prophesy to God's people in captivity. He's going to kind of give them some wherefore. This is what you're here for. If you know, maybe the next generation that was in captivity, maybe the young people that were born in captivity, he's preaching to them. He's saying, "Hey, if you didn't know why, or somebody didn't give you a good rundown of what you're here for, let me tell you this." Can I just say, folks, as we lose our freedom, even though Babylon may not be coming, maybe China or Russia is not going to come and take us over tomorrow necessarily, but poverty stricken or financial entanglements, and even just liberalism and socialism or communism taking over our country, are stealing our liberties every day. Now, I want to show you, just give you some of the rundown that I find here, that I believe that we can take this message to Israel and take it and be a message to America today. It could be a message to Americans, and we can see what has happened and what we can do about it. Amen. Let's pray together this morning before we begin to read the scripture. Dear God, I thank you for all that you've done this week and how you brought us back safely to this place. God, I thank you for our church, and God, I pray today that you would use me as your messenger boy. God, Holy Spirit of God, I need you to fill me. God, I need you. I ask you again, God, to just take this message that you've given to your nation, God, and help it to go out to our nation and to our people. Help us, God, to see what is going on around us, and that the Bible is just as true today as it was in Ezekiel's day. Well, thank you and praise you for all that is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In chapter 22, we'll begin in verse 23, and it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring Look, roaring lion ravaging the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravaging the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies into them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And then God says what we read earlier, and I sought for a man among them, that he should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, before the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And then verse 31, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. I just want to say this morning, God took and gave time. God begged for a man. God looked for somebody, maybe not just one, but he looked for somebodies that would make up the hedge. The idea of making up the hedge was there were people in place, but there was a gap in the fence. In the old days, they would put a hedge about a garden, and it was a thick hedge that animals couldn't get through and get to the garden. They'd put up a hedge of protection around their homes because it would slow down the robber. It would slow down the person, just like in our day. We put up fences and barbed wire, and we try to keep people out. We put up all kinds of things to hedge up things so that we can keep people in or out of whatever we need. And they needed to do that here. There were some things in the land that needed hedged up. He goes beyond that and says, and stand in the gap. Let me just say, if there's a hedge, sometimes there's a way to get in and out. And God needed a man that would keep. If we were to say, we could go down to our village down here, and we got a wall all the way around it that's sealed up, but there's a gate. And if we had no gate, we'd have a security guard that would be there to watch the gate, that would be there to stand in the gap, that would make sure nobody that wasn't supposed to go in there was going to get in. And listen, can I just tell you, here in this scripture, he doesn't just name one problem. He doesn't just name one man that had perverted some things. He goes through the list of problems in the nation. I want you to see number one here. He's going to give us this idea here of the prophets. If I could just say it, they're religious leaders. Look at verse 24. Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. And then he says, listen, he's saying that they're having a problem because they're not cleansed. Why are they not cleansed? In verse 25, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravaging or raving the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Let me just say this morning that religious leaders in our day and age in America have acted just like a roaring lion. When I think of the roaring lion, I'm not thinking of the lion of the tribe of Judah here. I'm looking for one that is seeking whom he may devour, because it talks about souls. If there's anything that anybody that perverts the way of the true God, the one and only God, Jehovah, if there's anything that perverts his way, it's the way of Antichrist. And here we're reading about men who call themselves religious. We're talking about men who don't care anything about the people that they serve, but they care only about the treasures and the precious things that they can take from God's people. We live in a day and age, and there's preachers all over the television and everywhere today. The only reason, and as soon as there was adversaries, there was the adversary, the devil said, shut the church down, they shut the place down. There are people all over, but there were men of God, praise God, like our preacher, that stood and said, I don't have the authority to close down God's house. Can I just say, there are a lot of people today that are not in the building to see people saved. They don't stand up and preach to tell people and reprove and rebuke and exhort God's people people, they stand up to tickle the ear so that they can drag a few more precious things away from God's people. Amen and amen. And you don't got to drive too far down the road to find one. You can find them in our town. You can find them down in Dundee. You can find them down in Lake Wales. You don't got to drive very far to find men that don't care anything about the souls of men. They're ready to devour them so they can take the precious things that God has blessed their family with and run them off or run them in the ground. Amen and amen. Nothing makes me more mad as a man of God is somebody being a sellout, piece of junk, panty wasted, lace all around the outside of it, preacher that would stand up and let people come in the building and leave lost and never tell them about a saving Jesus because they're afraid they might offend somebody. I'm ready to tell you this morning, the only hope for America, the only hope for religion, the only hope for everything is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, can I just tell you, it's time that God's people started to mark the men that are still doing right and they mark the ones that aren't. It's not wrong to say, don't you go down there, that guy's preaching a false gospel. Don't you go down there, that guy doesn't want anything but money. I know that we live in a day and age where they've given preachers a bad name. It used to be a man that stood beside the sacred desk and preached the word of God had honor, but now we're just like a pack of lawyers. Amen. When you say you're a preacher, people don't go, ooh, he's a preacher. They're ready to make fun of you. Because all they've ever met and all they've ever known was not a man of God, but a man of their own devices. Not a man of the book, but a man of their own books. Every other thing, heaping to themselves teachers with itching ears. God help us. If a man of God ever stands in our pulpit and instead of reading from the book, they bring their own book. You don't got to drive too far for people to use some perversion of God's word and not the King James inspired, preserved word of God. Amen and amen. Now, I better not get off on that because I may really get upset and say something about somebody. I may call names. Hey, I'm here to tell you, these guys, they had a conspiracy. Can you imagine? We think of conspiracy theories only, attached to the government. No, friends, these guys have seminars on how to drag money out of God's people. These guys go to meetings and try to figure out, rather than how they can get closer to God so that they can lead their people to walk closer to God, they figure out how they can take the last penny, the widow's mite, from somebody. God help us. Amen. Conspiracy among them. Listen, he doesn't just say they devour souls. Look at the scripture again. He says, not only have they, listen, about midway through the verse, they say they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and the precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. In the name of religion, people have marched across lands and fought battles that never should have been fought because somebody who said, thus saith the Lord, when God never said it, sent people into battle to fight for their religious cause instead of thus saith the Lord. Amen. You can't go back through history without looking, and I'll name the church, the Catholic Church, has sent more boys to die in battle and shed their blood than any nation upon the earth. Amen. Amen and amen. And I'm here to tell you that's wicked. That's straight from the devil's playbook. He doesn't just stop with the prophets. He says priest. I'm going to tell you now, listen, it gets tight. I just preached about me. I just preached about preachers, all right? And some sorry ones. Not me. I ain't like that, all right? But he said here, her priest. Why is our nation falling apart? Because of bad religious leaders. Amen. Why is the nation falling apart? Because of some believers. Look at verse 26. Her priest have violated my law. Do you know that when we're saved in our day and age, we're priests before a holy God? Kings and priests. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Look at this. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and they have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. If you don't think this is calling out our day and age and just what's happening, every person that believes in sole authority of the book and that they have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and that they can go boldly before the throne of grace is a priest, is part of the priesthood of the believer. And as believers, we need to take account that we live in a day and age that I know we got a mess of bad religious leaders that are leading people, but even some good churches and good people show up in church and all of a sudden when COVID hit, and we live in this day and age, and before COVID, they came to a place where it would be true of them, they have profaned my holy things. They'll come into a church and they'll watch a basketball game sitting in the pew on their phone. They'll come into church and do anything but listen to the preacher. They'll come into church and they'll just sit there and text somebody across the building. God help us. We live in a day and age where the holy things of God are not holy anymore to God's people. He said, not just that, but he goes on and he says, hey, neither have they showed. That is a spiritual life, a spiritual walk, holy and profane. And then he gets into your personal life. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. The Christian life is all about measuring things. This is not for me. I'm a Christian. That's unclean and this is clean. We have liberty, but not to do whatever it is that we feel like doing. Every one of us as a priest of the priesthood of believer have to make decisions on a daily basis of what a Christian should do and what a Christian shouldn't do. And I thank God that he gave me a Bible that measures out the clean and the unclean. It doesn't just show up in church and separate the holy and the profane things. It also measures the clean and the unclean. I know he was writing to Israel and they had all those laws, but don't you think that Jesus came and wiped away all the laws in most the part. I'm just going to tell you a lot of things he came and strengthened them. One of the things he strengthened was marriage and divorce. Amen and amen. Amen. He doesn't just stop there. He goes through all kinds of things and then he says, let me hit you right where COVID hit you. Amen. He said, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath. Now we don't worship on Saturday like they did. But we still have a holy day and we call it Sunday. Amen. We worship on the first day of the week, not the last. And I am profaned among them. God is speaking to the believers and he's saying here, listen, people have hidden their eyes to forsaking not the assembling of themselves together. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but folks, listen, I'm here to tell you, God's people have hidden their eyes from the commandment and said, well, there's some bug out there and it may get me. What happened to a holy God that's holy and he can take care of me? God protect me, but COVID, man, it's a strong thing. I can trust God with everything. I can trust him with my family and my money, but I can't trust him with COVID. God help us. Boy, you know what it would take for God's people to get right? To take the holy and the profane things that we have taken and we've made no difference between them and say, I'm getting rid of the profane. I'm going with the holy. When I come into God's house, I'm going to treat it as God's house. Amen. I'm not going to be on my phone. I'm not going to be talking during the service. I'm going to have my Bible out. I'm going to be focused on the Word of God. I'm going to come in ready to be filled up. I'm going to empty out of the profane and come in ready to be filled up by a holy God. Amen. God's people need to spend a week separating the clean and the unclean. Not separating, is anybody looking or can somebody see me? Most of God's people live their lives by what they should do in secret and what they should post on Facebook. And that is wicked. Amen. You say, Brother Parsons, you did get some preaching out there, didn't you? I did. Amen. Hey, I'm just here to tell you. We don't need to, our lives, it's either clean or it's unclean. It's not what I can post and what I can't post. It's living for God 100% all the time. And why would God's people come to a question, ever question, can I go to church or can't I? If the doors are open, I'm headed that way. I serve a God that I can trust. And he's going to take care of me. Amen and amen. Man, he didn't just stop there. This is my favorite one to preach on. The princes, the politicians in verse 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravaging the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Do you know the one that he has the shortest verse on flipping out against? God is given prophecy. He said, you know why? Because they were the smallest group. Do you know we blame more on the politicians because we think, but a lot, listen, the people put them there. I know they steal elections. I know they rob, but I know this, as I drive down the streets, there's a lot more people that want to do right than that want to do wrong and get politicians up there. Our sheriff this week, after they signed that bill, I love our sheriff. He got up and said, man, there's thousands of people moving to Florida every day. If you want to keep Florida like it is, vote the way the rest of us do. Amen. Don't come down here, enjoy what we have, and vote in a bunch of people that would change it. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Boy, I love our sheriff. Amen. But listen, these princes, there's people, man, we could skin them. But you know what they do? They get up in a high office and they send boys to shed blood. They make crazy laws. They take little kids and say, hey, we can't build a wall. Just let all these kids come into the country and we'll imprison them in cages. Everybody else has got to be 6 foot apart, but we ain't got room in the cage for that. Amen and amen. Amen. A whole pack of double standards right there. Amen. Goes on and says, destroy souls. They go and they took over our education system and wanted to educate everybody with Common Core math, where 2 + 2 = 3 if you want it to. That don't work where I come from. And listen up, mom and dad that are Christian believers. You better watch out, because Abeka and all these other companies that want to, they are selling out to the world. And so they can keep selling what they're making. They're adopting Common Core as well. You better check up what you're sticking in front of your kids, because what used to be safe ain't safe anymore. What used to be holy isn't holy anymore. What used to be clean isn't unclean. It's unclean now. Amen and amen. Amen. Don't get upset just because you went to college there. Amen. Right? You didn't change it. You want to holler at somebody, don't see me at the back door. Call Rebecca. Amen. And say, what are you doing? Right. Hey, I remember a day they started printing that stuff, not just in King James, but in some other languages. Right. Yeah. Amen? Because they wanted to be, you know, say that they had something else, trying to be all things to all fellas. And a whole pack of believers rose up and said, what do you think you're doing? And they went back to doing right. How long are they going to hold that line, though? I don't know about you, but I've come to the place in my life that I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to check things out. And I'm going to read into it. And I'm not going to trust a religious crowd that'll lead people astray. I'm not going to yoke up with them. I'm not going to rub shoulders with them. Listen, believers, I'm going to try to preach to them and help them. And at sometimes even have to offend them, because I want them to separate the holy and the profane. And then I know I'm going to have to skin the politicians every corner that they make. We're going to have to get after them and hold them accountable for the things like we used to. That ain't what I sent you up there for. Green New Deal. All that takes is rain. It greens things up. Driving an electric car, really, that's powered by coal. Because that's what they burned in the plant, that they stuck the electric in the car. Don't kid yourself, it ain't that clean. All right? If you bought yourself a Prius, I'm sorry. Amen and amen. Wolves shedding blood, destroying souls because of their education. They teach man that we came from a monkey or an amoeba or something else instead of a holy God created us. Amen and amen. Politicians. Dishonest gain. You mark her down, the only person that I've ever read about in recent times that left office with less money than he went in with was Donald Trump. Amen and amen. And you may not like him. I don't think that he is clean. I'm just saying there's a difference between the clean and the unclean. And when the Bible marks her down, the reason they were there for dishonest gain. And don't kid yourself. Most of them running for office today ain't trying to help you. Amen. They're trying to help themselves. Amen. Boy, he goes on. Then he says the people. Later on in verse 29, he's getting to the people. But you know how bad it was? And one of the real problems in the nation, that conspiracy. God just said, you know what? I got to hit them prophets again. I got to get them religious leaders again. They're turning God's people into, just hamsters for the Lord. Look, he says, and her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. He's given us a building material of untempered mortar. And throughout the Bible, it talks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone and then building the building fitly framed together. And the one thing, if you're building a block building that you can't short on, is the mortar that goes between the blocks. Amen. You mess up the mix and you get that mix wrong, buddy, and nothing is going to stand together. Nothing is going to hold together. The untempered mortar is something that's supposed to bind it together, but it wasn't mixed right. Can I just tell you, when you take a book that you cut out verses out of it, that's untempered mortar. Amen. When you get up and say, God told me to do this and he never said it, that's untempered mortar. Amen. You want to know how important it is? How in the world is a church going to be built up in the faith when you're preaching something that ain't the faith that was once delivered to the saints? Amen, amen and amen. Amen. The people. He's gotten believers. He's gotten the religious leaders. He gave a little smack to the politicians on the way by. And now he's going to get all the bulk lost citizens. Verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression and have exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Let me just run some things down for you. Our country, listen, is going, the wrong way. Letting people riot in the streets and steal stuff and bash up police cars and beat on police officers and let them walk free. What kind of crazy world have we entered into? I'm thankful for our government locally here and our governor who has made a law that said we ain't going to have that in Florida. But it ain't the first time it's happened, evidently. These people, when they exercise robbery, they vex the poor and the needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Can I just tell you, when we open the border, what do you expect them to do other than walk across into the greatest nation on the face of the earth? Amen. And then oppress them, say, come on if you want to come, and then jail them as soon as they get across the line. That's ludicrous. Amen. Who in the world? Listen, the president should be jailed for wrongfully oppressing people. His policies are hurting. This is not just a national crime. This is an international crime. He is breaking not just treaties, but the Constitution of these United States. It's time that we don't just make laws that shackle, I'm talking people that would riot in the streets, but it's time that we made some more laws that would shackle the President of the United States. And whether he says it or not, the amendments to the Constitution are law. The President doesn't make laws. He's supposed to enforce them through executive order, not break them through executive order. Amen and amen. So what do we find here? Man, we come to a place where what's supposed to be God's men and religious leaders have had a conspiracy against God's people. We find God's people just living however they want, not looking in the Word of God, just living, when they come in God's house, just doing what they want, instead of having things that are holy and getting rid of the profane. Do you know, it used to be a day and age where we would come to church and we would try to get right, not fight all the way to the parking lot and then hush up and come in God's house. Amen and amen. Amen. Not listen to the rock music until I pulled in, but being broken. Amen. And turning it off and saying, God, I'm sorry for what I'm listening to. God, help me to get rid of this music. And don't think you're holy because you're listening to country music. Amen. Don't get me started on rap music. That we ain't got time for that. The citizens of the nation and the politicians, I think they've gotten together and both gone the way of Cain. Amen. How do we change it? Listen, God said in this day and age, back in Ezekiel's day, he tells his people, I sought for a man. Listen, nobody seeks like God does. Amen. If God went on a hunt to find a man and he didn't find one, he wasn't there to be found. You know why? Because the religious leaders were off the deep end. Because the preachers were off the deep end. Because God's people had no difference between the holy and profane. Because the politicians couldn't be trusted. And the lost people ran around doing their own thing, oppressing people. Does it look like our day to you? It sure does to me. So in our day, I believe, can I just say this, 3 points. God sought for a man in the past and found none. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're heading for home, I promise. I didn't say we were done. I just said we're heading that way. John chapter 3. In the past, God sought for a man and found none. Number two, if you're keeping notes, so God sent one. Amen. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. God sought for a man, and when he found none, he said, I'll send one. For God so loved the world that he knew that we were lost in our sins, hopeless out here on our own. So he said, Son, I need you to go down there and save this old world. I need to send you into this place. I sought for a man, but I couldn't find one. And then he looked around heaven. He said, there's one. Would you go down to redeem this old sin-cursed world? And he sent his only begotten Son into all this world. Can I just say this? Turn with me to Luke 19. Lastly, I want to say this. For those of you that think, well, what is God? What am I good for? I mean, what could I be used for? God sent a man to redeem us and put his Holy Spirit inside of the believer so that we didn't live like those people in the past. So that when he seeks for a man today, he can find one. Can I just say today, even this morning, if you're a believer, God's got something for you to do. It's not to sit and sour or not divide between the holy and the profane, but it's to divide some holy things. It's to get cleaned up and serve God with your life. But if you're here and it's your first time or your second time, but you've never accepted Jesus, the one that God sent to redeem this whole world, can I just tell you, God is still seeking. God's still seeking. In Luke 19:10, he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The whole purpose. Because listen, can I just share a little secret with you? Jesus is God. Amen. And when God sought for a man and he couldn't find one, he sent himself. And he died in my place and he died in your place. Saved us, cleaned us up. And we live in a day and age where God is still seeking. Amen. God's still seeking for the lost. Saying, if you'll just come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, today, we have a God that's still seeking. If you're here today and don't know Jesus as your Savior, don't leave this place without being saved. Amen. If you're coming the doors and you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, don't come into a place and hear all of what is wrong with the world and not make it right in your own life. And get right. God sought for a man to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap. And he only found one. And that was his sinless son that he sent to die in our place. Would you stand with me today with head bowed, nod closed? If you're in the building today, you don't know if you're saved. You don't know, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around but me and God, would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm like that. God's seeking for me this morning. I need to be saved." Would you slip your hand up anywhere on the auditorium? "I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to be saved." One anywhere. I don't see a hand this morning, but that doesn't mean you can't come. If God has spoken to you, why don't you step out and come? As Brother Bert sings, "I'll come down to the front and meet you there." Come if God's leading today for you to be saved. Maybe you need to transfer your membership. Maybe you need to get baptized. As Brother Bert sings, you come and do what God wants you to do.
"Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am.
Pray this morning. If you're here, you're under the sound of my voice, maybe on the radio or on the internet, and you never trusted Christ as your Savior. It's so easy and so simple. God made a way for you to be saved. Jesus did all the work on Calvary and then rose again to give you hope. And if you'll just turn to him in salvation, if you'll just come to him for that relationship that he wants to give you this morning, you can be saved. If you're in the building this morning, wouldn't you come down the aisle and let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved? Please do that as we give you an opportunity for the burden.
"Just as I am, though tall,
Thank you for being here this morning. It is always sad when someone doesn't walk the aisle and get saved, but I promise you this, somewhere this morning on the property, some child, some person bowed their head and received Christ on our property this morning. We always want somebody to do that in here. Amen? And that's our prayer. But I don't ever want to stop praying. I don't ever want to stop preaching. I want people to be able to come. I'll tell you what you can do. Bring somebody with you. Bring somebody with you that's lost. I promise I'll preach to them. Amen. And we'll see what God does and what the Holy Spirit does. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed this morning. I thank you so much for listening so intently. I do pray for our nation and I hope you do this week. We're in a mess, folks. And if we don't turn back to God, if we don't change our wicked ways, we're going to go the way Israel did and we'll be in captivity. Brother Jacob, would you pray for us?
Thank you, preacher. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful message that preacher brought to us, Lord, to help us to apply to our lives, Lord. And thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, Lord. I pray that you'll be with us as we grow and come back tonight, Lord, and keep us safe as we go home and help us have a good time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.